Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev.
Really almost shut out in three of the four games. Tave scores a late, kind of meaningless goal last night. From your vantage point, what went wrong in this series from the start for the Blackhawks?
Everything. It's an easier question to ask what didn't go wrong for the Blackhawks. I mean, if you go back to September, the team that Nashville put on the ice over the last week and a half or so is the team that many people, including me, picked to win the Central Division. But obviously they had some issues during the year. P.K. Subban's health was a problem. And so they ended up sneaking in the back door as an 8 seed. And after a 50-win season, everybody just anointed the Blackhawks as, you know, the team to beat. And certainly there were times between the mid-January and mid-March points of the year that they looked like the team to beat. But late in the season, they started to look a little tired. And you saw a team that just simply didn't have another gear. And I think what was most surprising was, especially to the players, when you hear a lot of the post-game comments from guys like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, is that for the last decade, the players themselves and fans and media alike have just assumed that when the chips were on the table, the Blackhawks would have that ability to crank it up to 11. And this year it didn't look like they could get it past 8. And Nashville was a good, young, fast, hungry team and did every single thing better than the Blackhawks.
So what do the Blackhawks need next season?
Well, you know, that's kind of the fascinating thing, because it's certainly you don't win 50 games and have a laundry list of stuff that you absolutely positively have to have. And I think there's a lot of conversation about it being broken in Chicago, and the word rebuild has been thrown around by a lot of fans on Twitter and Facebook in the last 18 hours. I certainly don't think it's a rebuild situation, but certainly one of the glaring issues that was exposed by this series was the Blackhawks need to get younger and faster on the blue line. Brian Campbell was brought back for a full season on a very team-friendly deal, but he just didn't have it in the series against Nashville. Same can be said for Johnny Oduya. Michael Kempney got some run in the final game of the series as a seventh defenseman, but it was kind of a too little, too late scenario. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk is a nice player, but I don't think that the Hawks are in a position for him to be getting significant, I think, responsibility. Maybe not. He was getting significant minutes, but obviously they're going to keep rolling out Jonathan Toews' forward line with Keith and Hjalmarsson and Seabrook and some combination of those guys when stuff gets hairy. And so the Hawks have got some internal options there. Gustav Forsling's a 20-year-old that was highly regarded by Vancouver that they got in a deal a couple years ago, who played a little bit for the Hawks in the first half of the season. He's a guy that'll get some play, but certainly the blue line, they need to be younger and faster. And I think the most disappointing thing for the Hawks was that the young group of rookies that really, if not for the remarkable year in Toronto, would have gotten more attention around the league than they did. Certainly in Chicago, there was a lot of talk about the quality of the rookies. They disappeared in this series. Nick Schmaltz did not have a good series, especially after, you know, he was, I think, fifth or sixth among rookies after February 1st in points. He disappeared. Ryan Hartman didn't have a good series. Really, the best rookie performer in the Nashville series was Tanner Kuro, and he isn't as much of an offensive guy as the others. So the Hawks are going to have to, you know, have some long conversations about the maturation process and hope that these guys can play catch up with their veterans quickly. But they certainly need to get younger and faster.
Yeah, younger and faster is kind of the motto of today's National Hockey League. Now the Hawks don't have a ton of cap space. How do you feel they go about doing it?
Well, the good thing is that, like I said, the cupboard certainly isn't bare in Chicago, but they do have a lot of issues that they're going to have to figure out. Scott Darling's an unrestricted free agent, so there's going to be a decision made in net either to go extremely cheap behind Corey Crawford, or is Crawford a guy that after seeing high-level play from Darling for a couple years, you entertain the possibility of possibly moving. You've got to think that Crawford has played well enough during his time in Chicago that they'd hate to move him, but with a $6 million cap hit, which isn't unreasonable given the quality of play that he's brought out, you have to think that that might be something. And there's some other interesting guys, like Richard Ponick is a restricted free agent, that he's going to need some money. And after, you know, putting up 20 goals, he's a guy that's going to expect a payday. And so the Hawks will have some options, either via free agency internally or via trade, that'll be intriguing. And they'll look to fill some gaps from inside as well. One name to not forget, even though he barely saw the ice in the series, was John Hayden came up out of the college ranks for the last couple weeks of the regular season and was a really good physical presence. But the speed of playoff hockey, you know, 2 weeks after finishing your senior year of college is a lot to ask. And so understandably, the Hawks didn't push him very hard, but I think he'll be a guy that you'll see in a much more prominent role with the Hawks next year.
We're discussing the Chicago Blackhawks' surprising four-game sweep at the hands of the Nashville Predators with Tab Banford from ChicagoNow.com in the fourth period. It's interesting to try to retool when you've got Kane and Taves and, you know, Duncan Keith, obviously you can still play. What do you think of Brent Seabrook at this point? I know they don't have a ton of depth on the blue line. I think he's got a no movement clause, but, you know, is he somebody they'd contemplate moving? Do you think he'd be willing to do it?
Well, you know, there's two edges to that sword. One of them is, would he consider moving? And the other is, how many teams out there have an appetite to take on the contract that he was given, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? So, you know, the Brent Seabrook contract does not look very good. He's aging, and his play has not been at the all-star and Olympian level that it was, obviously, younger in his career. He turned 32 during the series, and so his age is up there. And so, you know, the leadership that he brings is worth a ton. People always point back to him having kumbaya in the penalty box with Jonathan Taves in 2013 in the series against Detroit and settling down Captain Serious, the unflappable Jonathan Taves. And there's a reason that he's got an A on his sweater, so it's hard to imagine that he'd be a guy that they'd put out there, but it's harder to imagine that somebody would want to take that paper on at this stage in his career. But if somebody will take Shea Weber's contract, who am I to doubt anything?
Fair point on that one. And outside of, you know, you mentioned Smoltz and Hartman and some of the young guys did show up, which, you know, maybe, and I actually said that to me, the concern for Chicago was they had so much youth, and when they've won, they had great contributions from their third and fourth lines. And it illustrates that even the great organizations are going to have to go through a little bit of a downturn. And for the Hawks, you know what, maybe the regular season was a little bit of smoke and mirrors at times, but they're still a 100-point team. And losing to Nashville, who knows how far the Preds go. But the Hawks aren't a team that's necessarily, you know, going to be down in the dumps anytime soon, Tab. But they're going to have to make quite a few moves before they go back to being a real cup contender.
Yeah, and, you know, the great wild card for everyone in the National Hockey League this summer is the expansion draft. And, you know, whether or not the players say yes to the escalator and how much the cap actually does go up this summer. You know, I think the Blackhawks will have some interesting decisions to make. Vegas could do them an enormous favor and take Marcus Kruger in the expansion draft. Kruger is a very nice player. He's won two cups in Chicago. He's an excellent penalty killer. He's good at the dot. And it would hurt the Hawks because I think faceoffs is one of the biggest areas that they struggled in this series. Anisimov isn't great, and Kiro is young and still figuring it out at the NHL level. But having a guy who's pretty good at penalty kills at $3 million for a cap-strapped team doesn't make a ton of sense. So, you know, right now it looks like probably the best options for Vegas to pluck out of Chicago would be either Van Riemsdyk or Kruger. So that would certainly help. I think everyone in the National Hockey League is going to have a little bit of rearranging the deck chairs to see who they're losing, whether it's a prospect that they've been waiting on beyond his entry-level deal, or or some young guys that they just don't have room to keep. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but you're right. There's going to have to be some accommodations made. And a guy like Richard Ponick is intriguing because certainly he played well. He looked great on the line with Jonathan Toews. Lots of guys have. Thomas Kopetsky was a 20-goal guy with Jonathan Toews. And when the Hawks went out and gave up a draft pick for Thomas Yurko, you wonder if Ponick, as a restricted free agent, isn't a guy that maybe they look to bring back an asset or add him to an asset to create some cap flexibility and look at Yurko maybe being a guy that can slide into a third or fourth line role. But, yeah, I mean, Stan Bowman's going to have to be creative, but they burned it down to the ground pretty hard in 2010 and they've won 2 cents. So it'll be interesting to see how creative they can get this year, especially with all those no-move clauses.
Yeah, that's a great point. Dad, great stuff. We'll talk to you probably leading up to the expansion draft because that's going to be very interesting for a lot of teams to see who likely will be exposed. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.